This morning's reading is taken from Romans chapter 16, verses 25 to the end. Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Luke chapter 1, verse 26. The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How shall this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. It's good to watch something like that, something simple, like an artist drawing, the building up of a picture. It's quite fascinating when you watch it like that. It reminds us of what this season is about. And during this time, it's quite easy to take the days for granted. It's easy to take the regular, everyday pattern of busyness for granted. But what happens when we really have a good day? Do we actually feel upbeat and happy? Are any of us really affected by the Christmas songs that are playing on the radio now, probably have been playing for the last 3 months? Even the TV adverts have a little bit of Christmas music in the background. Does the exposure to Christmas really influence our mood, or are we so inured to it every year that we kind of almost switch off? Yet we are reminded in the story that we will hear over the next 24 hours as gradually the picture builds up, just like the artist drawing. We hear the story. We hear the story of a young couple on a normal day. Now, in Hebrew culture, neither the bride nor the groom were forced to marry. The prospective groom offered the prospective bride something of value and placed it, in the case of a ring, on her right hand. But the smallest acceptable thing that a groom could give was the smallest coin of the day. So for us, the equivalent, I guess, would be a 1p piece. And at that point, the couple were legally married in all things except living together. And there was a waiting period of 1 year. And the bride stayed with her parents for that waiting period. So Mary is probably, most likely, having an average day when Gabriel appears to her and tells her that she will have a child that is special, and he tells her what his name should be. She asks how, and he gives quite a vague explanation. I'm sure I would have been asking for details. And if you asked her that day, how was your day? How would you expect her to respond? How would we have responded to the news that she received? It's a scary thought today, and I suspect it was much worse back then. And a quick translation to this conversation is that Mary says, okay. Yes, okay. What was she thinking? She could have been stoned to death. Now, the story is told of a young woman who asked for an appointment to see her minister to talk with him about a sin that she was struggling with. She saw him and she said, "Reverend, I have become aware of this sin in my life that I just cannot control. Every time I am at church, I begin to look around at the other woman, and I realize that I am the prettiest one. In the whole congregation, none of the others can compare with my beauty. What can I do about this sin?" The minister replied, "Well, that's not a sin, it's just a mistake." If we contrast that to Mary's response, and her song, the Magnificat, it is a song of faith. She does not raise herself up, her actions, her accomplishments. The whole song is about the Lord. She seems humble and reserved. All her joy is to glorify God. With all the potential problems, she sees this as a great thing. Mary was a real human being. When God chose her, it was a moment of grace. God is sovereign and he can choose whomever he wishes to choose. And she brought salvation into this world in the most amazingly normal way. She understands that she's being used as an instrument of God to bring salvation into the world. Do we understand how wonderful and important that really is? And I don't believe that at that point she even had an imperfect understanding of all that would happen. But she knew that it was going to be good. And there are times when the divine, our God, speaks to us even today. And we can speak to God, and it can leave us with mixed feelings when God speaks to us, when we realize that God has spoken to us through scripture or a person or an idea provided by the Spirit. It's a wow moment. And then we realize, oh, wait, I've never done anything like this before. It's inconvenient. It's painful. It's embarrassing. It's costly. Suddenly, the wow turns into worry or excuses because we know who we are. We avoid the burning bush because we believe that we have poor speech or weak ideas or perhaps something in our background. When God speaks to us and we get that uncomfortable, scared feeling, he is waiting for a yes or a no. And he won't force us. He will never, ever, ever force us into growth in our relationship with him. He won't force us to take on new responsibility. He won't force us to do anything. Because he gives humankind the ability to choose. And if we are Christians, we are expected to live for Christ, and to say yes to the things that he calls us to do. The problem is that sometimes we can take God's actions and mercy and grace for granted. Yet Christmas is a time when we can let the songs stir our spirits, even if they are really, really familiar. We can let the songs fill us with the power of the living God. We can let the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts and minds, and that he tells us that he knows who we are, and that he has a plan, and that each of us can play a role. Let the Spirit of God refresh your soul in the coming weeks. He can make all things new. He can give joy. And the most amazing thing about the story that we will hear at this time is that God uses the most unlikely people in terms of the world standards. All glory be to God. Amen.